Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.
Hello, this is motivational speaker Les Brown, and you're listening to Life Conversations. It's going to change your life.
Hi, I'm Mark Victor Hansen. I want you to be listening to Life Conversations. My friends are running it, and they do the best hosting on the planet. Enjoy the show.
Life Conversations, the radio show, is dedicated to empowering its listeners spiritually, emotionally, socially, and financially. The radio show provides the platform for the stimulation of thoughts, conversations, and ways of being that allow listeners to explore and examine what it is they believe and decide whether what they believe is keeping them stuck and disempowered or empowering them to live their best life.
Hey folks, it's Jenny Cressman. I've worked in the field of woman abuse for almost 20 years now, and I have a challenge for you. I want to challenge you to help end violence against women. Now, that may seem like a big, hairy, scary project, but if we all work together, anything's possible. All I want you to do is talk about it. That's my challenge. Whenever appropriate and safe, tell people that abuse of any kind is absolutely unacceptable. If someone says it's a woman's fault she was abused, or tells a joke that puts women down, call them on it. Stand up, speak out, and stop abuse and violence against women. Just saying that's not right is a big step towards greater equality. You can make a difference. You can help make the world a better place. Just talk about it.
Did you know when the body is balanced, it heals itself? This is the guiding principle of Dr. Mark Armstrong. Dr. Mark is the founder of Ahimki Center for Wholeness. Ahimki is a wellness center that offers services and training programs that help you grow yourself. Ahimki is a word which symbolizes our commitment to honor the sacredness of all life and our respect for the vital force that flows through all living creatures. We seek to teach and heal, and thereby express our love for mankind, the earth, and the infinite universe. Ahimki Center for Wholeness services include acupressure, foot detoxification, Reiki, iridology, massage, Ahimki mind management, which is a process that uses the natural rhythms of the body to balance the mind. It enables total well-being and getting the thinking out of the way so the brainstem can do its work, and much more. For more information, visit ahimki.net. That's ahimki.net. Ahimki Center for Wholeness, honoring the ancient practice of energy medicine.
Imagine a world where bullying isn't considered a normal part of childhood.
A world where I'm not afraid to go to school.
To speak out.
To be myself.
A world where I'm not afraid to be caught alone.
Come on, punk. We have the power to stop the bullying.
Speak out.
Speak up.
Educate.
Find out what to look for and how you can make a difference at bullying.org.
Bullying is not kids being kids.
It's not about good homes or bad homes.
It's not a normal part of growing up.
I shouldn't be afraid to get out of school.
To turn on my computer.
Message.
But walk to my locker.
Did you know that a bully will stop his or her behavior in 10 seconds when their peers speak up?
Use your voice.
Hey, leave him alone.
We have the power to stop bullying.
Find out more at bullying.org.
Bullying.org.
Where you're not alone.
Where you're not alone.
Where you're not alone.
Life Conversations, committed to assisting you move from where you are to where you want to be. Have courage, make that move.
Hi, this is Jack Armstrong, author of Lessons from the Source. You're listening to Ask Life Coach Ade on LifeConversationsRadio.com. Many blessings to you.
I am great. I am wonderful. I am whole. I am peace. I am here. I am strong, I'm free. Well, I'm the delight of God, I am you. I am healed, I am love, I am great. I am wonderful, I am whole, and I am free.
This is Sister Nikki Harris. And this is our choir.
It is your time, your moment right now to get still and send out your prayer of love to your friends, to your family, to your neighbors, to the world. Somebody needs a prayer today. Will you be that place where healings happen? Will you be that place where God gets to represent itself? Right tonight, today, this moment is now. It is now. Pray with me.
Someone's in despair this day. Have you prayed from your heart? So many are trying to find their way, and they need your light, you know, for our prayer of love. It lives.
Pray on it
until I see peace everywhere, everywhere.
Higher vibration. It will lift the planet to a higher vibration. We get to experience a miracle as ourselves because we become so energized in our prayerful consciousness, recognizing that we are one with the one. We're not praying to change God's mind. We're praying for us to recognize that peace is right here. The joy is right here. The healing is right here. The life is right here. So when it's challenging and you don't know what to do, you allow yourself to align with the truth through prayer. Prayer is a movement in consciousness. It's just moving your consciousness from fear to love. It's time to pray. When you pray with great attitude, you find yourself in that praise attitude. And as you pray, you raise your consciousness. Someone needs a prayer today, the Agape Choir. And the lead vocalist is, of course, Nikki Harris. So much going on in the world. I don't know where to start. So I just welcome you right now and just take a breath. And I must say, I'm so grateful to see my friend on the phone line, Glenda. She called in at the beginning, it's like, yes. We'll have a lot of people in the path of Sandy. We have a lot of people in the path of transformation. The world is on a path of transformation. And we're all being shaken together. We're feeling an earthquake. We're going through the labor pains, the labor contractions of a new life, a new way of being. There's a tightening and a relaxation. And one minute you don't know if you can make it, you can breathe. And next minute there's a sense of peace. But it's all strengthening us. All of this has happened for us to be strengthened. Some people may have to leave the body to take care, to continue the process. Some of us are going to hang around. But it doesn't matter if we leave the body or stick around. We're all on the same journey. So I want to welcome you. good afternoon, good evening, good night, good morning, good day to you, wherever you may be at this very moment in time. Thank you, thank you, thank you for tuning in to Life Conversations Radio, where change begins and you make a difference. You make a difference. You make a difference. In spite of what you're going through, and because of what you're going through, you make a difference. Even if you're having a health challenge, you're making a difference. You've been a catalyst for other people to pray, to send prayers out, to support you, to give love, to be love, to receive love. You're doing so much on this planet right now that is not always broadcast on the media, in the news. Through your thoughts, through your actions, your intentions, your paying attention, being accessible to God to express himself, herself through and as you. You are making a difference. I pray that you recognize that. I pray that you know that. And even if you feel like you're not, I want you to change your mind right now. All you got to do is choose again. All you've got to do is choose again. You're listening to the Ask Life Coach Adair Radio Show. We are here Monday to Wednesday, 12 to 2 p.m. Eastern. I am your host, Life Coach Adair. I'm so full. I'm just feeling so much. So I'm going to hold my own hands. I'm going to be my own parent and parent myself. Give myself a hug and just gently walk through this. Because there's so much going on in the world. So much, so much. The theme, the last day for this conversation, of living the vision for your life. Living the vision for your life. And if you are not sure when is a good time, just turn on the television, turn on the radio, read something, go on Facebook. This is the perfect time for you to live your vision. We'll talk more about that. All the shows are archived, usually about 10 minutes or so, 10, 15 minutes after the show. And you can subscribe to I'm so full, tearful, not because I'm sad, just full. Full of just really catching a moment of what life is about for me and the shift and the change that can happen. You know, been talking to my dear friend Kim Kennedy, whose brother made his transition a few days ago. You know, and for me and probably for you too, when I hear about a transition and something happens, it just brings me back to me. Like, you know, I go about my days as if I know I'm going to be here tomorrow. Oh, yeah, I'll do that tomorrow. I'll do that next week. Appointments. Oh, yeah, I definitely be. Oh, I'm going to be there. Now, on the soul level, I don't really know, but I like to believe that on a soul level, we know when the time is up. But on a human level, we don't know. So we could be talking to somebody today, and the next day we find out they've made their transition. We could be talking to somebody or have an argument with somebody, and next thing we know they're in a hospital. You know, we can just hang up on the phone or talk to somebody on Facebook or whatever, Twitter and all the other social networks, and something tragic happens. And I'm full with how fragile life is. So there's a thin line. It's so fragile, the difference between being on this plane and in the spirit realm. Now, it's not a bad thing. Now, those of us in the human realm go through a grieving process and feel the trauma because there's a part of us that dies. There's a part of us that gets to face ourselves. That I'm not going to be here forever. Are there things I'm not doing? Am I showing up fully with all the affirmations and all the inspirational quotes and the posts and the books that I've read and the retreats I've got? But am I completely at peace with myself? You know? I'm so grateful to see Glenda, you know, to be that place and represent that there are some people who made it through Sandy yesterday. There are some people who didn't make it through, or they made it through the veil, and now they're on the other side. There's some people who are homeless. There's some people stuck in the attic. There's some people who don't even know how they're going to start putting their lives together. And this is not just people on the path of sin. This is globally. People are feeling this individually. We are all going through our healing process. And you know, if there's anything I want to say today, it's we got to integrate what we know. You know, it's not about having the best conversation or being able to hold a conversation with spiritual folk. It's really about what you know. No matter if it's just one thing, it's just one idea, one concept of who you are, what life is about. Integrate that, that your life reflects that. We don't really have time to play around. We really don't. Play around in the sense that just kind of think, well, you know, we do it later. I think it's not the right time. I don't have the money. Who's going to pay me for my gift? Who's going to do this? Who's going to do that? Now, it's the only time to play with life fully. Now is the time to lose the weight. Now is the time to change how you feel about your job. Now is the time for you to quit if that's what you want to do. Now is the time for you to speak up in your relationship and say, this is not working for me. Let's do something different. And if you're not willing to do something different, I'm going to take care of myself to get help. I don't know where it's going to lead me. I might leave or I might catch a new awareness of myself. Now is the time to just allow all of you to be revealed. I have another friend that just popped in my head just now. And it's not confidential because she put it on Facebook. Betty Pegues. Betty used to be my co-producer. And I just invite you listeners to send her love and light. She shares a story going to the doctor just to, you know, she was just trying to see if I can't sleep and going through this. And she's getting all this feedback from the doctor like, whoa, wait a minute. All her organs going through all kind of shifts and changes, you know. This is just a few people that I know, but I know that you know people who are going through pain and challenges and grieving. Now, life is not about sadness, but there's something about the sadness. There's something about illness. There's something about dis-ease. There's something about a storm. There's something about a personal hurricane that becomes a catalyst for us to go within and ask the real questions. Now, we don't have to wait for that to happen because drama is really optional. But if you're there, it's okay. And when you're there, it's a good time. I really want to encourage you in that place. Rather than say, God, why me? Just say, okay, God, you've got my attention right now. What would you have me do? Where would you have me go? What would you have me say? What do I need to learn? What is the gift in this experience? Do I need to become more vocal or do I become more quiet? Do I need to take time to ask some deep questions? So, that's what's happening here today. We have some things to send. Don't read and talk. Thank you for sending me the love, and I'm sending the love to all of you listeners, those of you listening. Those of you listening on the phone line, those of you listening in the archive, those of you listening online, those of you who are listening on the soul level, wherever you are, I'm sending this love out to the world. starting from where I'm at, from where I am. We're taking your calls. Maybe you want to talk about your experience. Actually, Glenda, I'm going to come to you later. I want to hear. I want you to be our reporter. Tell us what you experienced, because you were there. You were in the midst of it. So I'll come to you later soon. I don't know when, but we'll come to you soon. You were in the midst of Sandy and the wind and the rain and the water and all of that. Number is 347-426-3346. Press 1 on your keypad and we'll be happy to come to you, take your questions, your thoughts, your doubts, your worries, your fears, your disbeliefs, your disagreements. You know why? Because this is the house of love. So whatever you bring, love will take care of it. Love will take care of it. Let's do this for a minute. I'm going to do something real quick. Love, love, love. Love will take care of it. Okay, I'm back. We're also taking your thoughts, your questions. Maybe you caught a new insight, a new awareness through this, through all the shift that's happening in your world or what you're looking at in the world. There's only one world. Only one world, one life, one presence, one power. And we are one with that power. Ask Life Coach Ade fan page. Ask Life Coach Ade like page. You can post your questions, thoughts there, or go to lifeconversationsmedia.com. Lifeconversationsmedia.com and hover under Life Conversations Radio menu. And there's a drop menu that says Ask Life Coach Ade. Fill in the email. I'll be happy to address your questions, your thoughts. Whatever you're moving through. And maybe you have a word for me. I also want to let you know that the Ask Life Coach at a radio show syndicated on Within Radio. Within Radio. Every Friday, 8 p.m. Eastern. To find out more, go to inspirebroadcasting.com. Inspirebroadcasting.com, the Ask Life Coach at a radio show every Friday, 8 p.m. Eastern. And today at 1 o'clock, or around 1, we have Celestial Moment. And Celeste is going to be adding a little bit more to Celestial Moment. And today being Halloween and all that stuff, you know, she's going to come and break it down, what it means, where it started. What's the significance of the candy, and, you know, what it, you know, because sometimes people are afraid of it. Sometimes people practice a religion they don't quite understand, and they judge the pagans, but then they pimp their tradition as if it's a whole new thing. But anyway, Celeste's going to be dropping it, and she's going to be bringing it. I can't wait. And if you have any questions for Celeste, number 347-426-3346. And we're preparing for the new theme in November is the gifts. Of gratitude, the gifts of gratitude. It has a double meaning. See, there is gratitude when you remember, when you put all it all together, when you recognize, when you realize and see with real eyes that there's so much to be grateful for. Something shifts in your body, your cells, your molecules, your vibration shift. Because gratitude is the highest form of prayer. You know, because gratitude means you recognize God's goodness in your life, God's blessings in your life, God's miracles in your life. So when we say the gifts of gratitude, so gratitude has gifts that it gives you when you recognize it, when you're willing to embrace it. Now, the flip side of that theme is your gifts. The gift that you're holding on to, the gift that you're holding back on, the gift that you're keeping in a box, or maybe the gift that you're expressing. When you express your gift, it gives you a reason to be grateful and realize that you're full of greatness. And because you gave of your gift, because you shared your gift, somebody else can be grateful for the work, for what you do, your creativity, your inspiration, your service. So it's a double meaning there. The gifts of gratitude, your gift and gratitude. When you recognize gifts and gratitude, that gratitude has a gift, and your gift is part of being grateful, you get to recognize that God is good all the time. I welcome you all. I welcome you. I'm just in an interesting space. And I'm just right now holding everyone in a prayer consciousness, knowing that the light of God surrounds you, the love of God enfolds you, the power of God protects you, and the presence of God watches over you. Wherever you are, God is. Wherever you are, God is. Wherever you are in consciousness, wherever you are physically, wherever you are emotionally, wherever you are spiritually, wherever you are mentally, God is. Even if you're somewhere in somebody's bed that you know you shouldn't be right now, God is right there. If you're in a job that you just don't understand why you keep coming back or why they're treating you the way they're treating you, God is. If you've been working on something and struggling and just can't figure it out, you keep to repeating the same pattern, there's pain, there's discomfort, there's grief, there's just going through it. Where you are, God is. Now, this may sound just like words, but I want to invite you to just kind of sit with that if it does. Like right where I'm at, in the judgment of myself, while I feel guilt, while I feel shame, while I feel like I'm not enough, that God is there. That God is right where I'm at, right here. Oh, guess what? It gets better. God is you. You are God in action. You are God. You are the essence. You are the light of God. But there's a human aspect of you. There's a physical aspect of you. There is a part of you that is experiencing life as separated from that Godness. So when we experience life as separated from the all that God is, then we get to go through what comes with that. But even if you're in a place where you've seen yourself separated from everybody, separated from God, separated from good, separated from your blessings, separated from your miracles, separated from perfect health, separated from your creativity, separated from your joy, right there, God is. Right there, God is. And today we are wrapping up the theme, Living the Vision for Your Life, which is all part of expressing God. Because the question is, are you catching the vision, God's vision for your life? Are you catching an insight? Are you catching an awareness? Are you living your dreams? What are you dreaming about? What are your passions? You know, there are things that we put as milestones, things we want to do to represent that we are successful, that we've accomplished something, that we are real. But the truth is right now, what is stopping you from getting to that place, to feeling that sense of success right now? Now, of course, if you have a project that you're working on, if you have something that you're moving through, that you're trying to create, yeah, once that is completed, you're going to feel excited about it. But the truth is, right where you are, can you find a reason to feel that feeling right now? If you just kind of imagine, wow, the book that I've written, the book that I'm writing, the song that I'm writing, the lyrics, the job, the business, the relationship, the health, the vision for a school that educates children, that educates them holistically, being able to travel across the world to teach and preach, if you will, since that's coming up, whatever you want to do. You know, whatever it is, your deepest desire, just if you can just sit with that, feel what that feels like. And I'm telling you, right now is the time. You just got to pay attention. You got to make yourself accessible. And you got to have an intention so that God can just show out right where you are. God is. Even in the storm, God is. God is the storm. We're going through a birthing process. God is in the darkness. God is in the light, in the believers, and those who don't know. Your job, your responsibility is to see God if you can. We'll be right back.
I am dwelling in the sunshine, dwelling in the shadow, dwelling in believers and in folks who don't know.
Simon, to see God in all. But you got to see God in yourself first.
But sometime, maybe you see it in all, then you see it in yourself. Ricky Byers Beckwith, Everywhere I Am. Her website address is weletitbe.com. I want to read something here, and then after this, Glenda, if you're ready, let me know. Just press one on your keypad when you're ready. Now, when we're talking about living the vision for your life, you know, when we think of disasters and when we're afraid of death, it's because sometimes we feel that we are not living life fully, that we're holding back. But sometimes we feel we're holding back, but we also don't know how to let go. We don't know the right way, who to talk to, what to do first. So we get so confused. We're ashamed, we're afraid, we feel guilt, we're worried, we're nervous. But we need to bring all of that to the table for God to transform. It's not your business to heal your disease. It's not your business to heal your guilt, your shame, your insecurities. It is God's business. Because all of that is needed. Imagine how powerful it is when somebody who had a traumatic life, or, you know, they're people who've been burned from head to toe from domestic violence, and they're out there speaking, and because you're looking at them and they're telling you their story, there's something about their life that inspires you. Now, you don't have to go through that, but there's something about looking at somebody who's been through hell, raising your consciousness so you can live in heaven, that just does things to the consciousness, that it causes you to look at yourself differently. So why would you want to hide your hellish experience? Sometimes it's the insecurities and the guilt and the shame and the mistrust, the betrayal, all the stuff that we're hiding from the world is actually the main ingredient to serve up a wonderful soul food. Can you imagine somebody who, at the risk of getting political, you know, somebody who's never been raped, talking about what rape is, somebody who doesn't know what it's like to be enslaved, somebody who doesn't know what it's like to lose their freedom, somebody who doesn't know what it's like to actually live life in poverty, to want to talk to you. Yeah, you can hear it, but there's something. It's somebody who's been raped, somebody who's been enslaved, somebody who's lost their freedom, somebody who lived in poverty, when they talk to you, there's something about their presence that lights you up. So whatever it is you're hiding from yourself, you're hiding from the world, it's time to live out loud. And I want to read something to you before we go to Glenda. This is something from the Sacred Yes. And this is from the chapter, what is it? I Speak to Your Heart. And for those of you who don't know, Sacred Yes was spoken to and through Reverend Deborah Johnson, similar to Conversations with God. So this is a part where God said, I want to speak both to and through your heart. I want to speak not merely to your heart. I wish to speak through your heart. I need you, my Reverend daughter, speaking to Reverend Deborah Johnson. I need you in the particular. That is to say, I need you specifically for who you are. I need all of you generally, as well as each and every one of you specifically for who you are. I need places and spaces in the universe through which I can love, through which I can speak, through which I can teach and embrace. I need places and spaces in the universe through which I can inspire and uplift. I need spaces and places in the universe through which my divine plan can unfold. I speak to your heart always, but you will not hear the voice until you show up in the moment with a certain degree of availability on your part. Understand
that this availability does not mean that you have to be a saint. I need your genuine accessibility or your attention or your intention. If I have any of the three, there is an opportunity to at least make a connection, to stir something in your heart that would at least allow you to know I am present, whether you are actively searching me out or not. However, to really speak to your heart, I need all three. I need your accessibility, I need your attention, as well as your deep intention. So if you don't have the three, if you're just available, so here I am, God, I'm available. If you're accessible, just do your work, do your spiritual work, so you can just feel the presence and power of God. Say, okay, God, I don't know if I'm doing this right, but I'm here. I'm afraid, I'm nervous, I'm scared. But you have that deep intention to see God everywhere, in the midst of chaos, in the midst of Sandy, hurricane, superstorm, whatever name they want to call it, in the midst of a debate, in the midst of people having an argument, holding their ground about who is right and wrong. If that's your deep intention, you can allow God to reveal himself, herself, itself. Live in the vision for your life. You have a vision. You're here for a reason. You are coded. You are encoded with a special mission. And nobody can fulfill that mission. And when you do it, you may be tempted to compare to others, but nobody can do it like you. So you can never do it wrong. Now, you may judge that you're doing it wrong, but it's just your head. It's your head. You're going on a head trip. Let's take a heart trip. The heart never judges. The heart loves. You're listening to the Ask Life Coach Daddy radio show. We invite you to share the show with your friends, your lovers, your haters. We're all one. Share it on social network, wherever. And if you don't feel like doing it, so be it. I trust the process. But let your spirit be your guide. I welcome you, Tamara, Zoe, Teresa, Yvette. Welcome. Delicious in the house. Let's go to Glenda. And we have our local correspondent, Glenda Springer, calling from New York. Hey, Glenda, how are you doing?
Hi, RJ. How are you?
You want me to do the sound effects? I'm holding on to a tree right now. I'm about to be blown away, but I'm okay. Don't worry about me.
I gotta say, I'm really grateful that, we didn't lose power. You know, like where I am, I live in Brooklyn, New York, so it's one of the five boroughs, and I don't live near water. I actually live in a part of Brooklyn that is supposedly like the highest, you know, in terms of elevation in the city. So it's kind of like central Brooklyn. And
okay.
I had to really check myself because recently I've been, you know, saying I want to move, I want to leave, going down the road of really not being grateful. But I sit here right now, I'm very grateful of where I live and the fact that the storm I didn't get my power knocked out. I'm grateful my parents didn't get their power knocked out. I was concerned about that. That the tree that fell on my father's house did not damage the house. I haven't really been outside further than my backyard. I see like a window fell out, a window fell out and broke, which was real interesting because that's where I was taking the dog, out to relieve the dog. So the gratefulness is like, hey, I could have been out with the dog and this window could have flew out,
Right.
Just really slowing it down. I think New York City needs, I think we all need to slow down sometimes. And New York City came to a stop, sometimes that's a good thing. I've heard about some of the other damage that we've had, damage to the subway system and lower Manhattan, unlike anything that anyone has ever seen. 13 feet, you know, surge of water coming into lower Manhattan is pretty scary. And it's, you know, people being rescued by boats from lower Manhattan. That's some serious stuff. So I hold those people in prayer, you know. And but I'm just really grateful. I am grateful that where I am, the block that I live on, my neighborhood, it's just really quiet. The houses are intact. No fires. There was a fire that started and people had to be evacuated in Queens. But I also want to say that, like, personally, spiritually, for me, the storm was interesting. Before it really hit, a lot of stuff was coming up. A lot of emotional stuff was coming up for me. Mm. And I think once the eye of the storm, like last night, once it came, my consciousness was that. I clearly heard, well, what are you going to choose to do? You're going to keep holding on to what you've been holding on to, or you can just let it go. Mm-hmm. That's just me. I mean, now that I got that at the, you know, when the storm was really, the eye of the storm came over. And one thing that I'll close with that I thought is just my sense of the storm. The wind sounded like it was the ocean. That was really deep to me. It sounded like the waves. If you're near the ocean and the roar of the waves. And then it stops, you know, like that ebb and the flow. But if the ocean is really, you know, roaring, that's how the wind sounded. And it was that, and that's what it was last night. And that was really like, wait a minute. I don't hear any whistling, you know, usually, or howling. That's what you associate wind with. I said the ocean sounds like it's in the air. You know, we had a full moon last night and everything.
Right.
But this was interesting because the pulse, the pace, it was like the ocean was in the air. You would hear this roaring, and, you know, and then it would calm, and then it would roar again, and then it would calm. So I think this is all about, you know, being present, like you were saying, seeing God in all things. We don't usually, you know, New Yorkers are like, a storm is coming. You know, we don't usually take things seriously, but I think what made a turn for us was the blizzard in 2010. Because that was serious business and people lost their lives. And, you know, so we got to wait and see what happens, you know. The financial markets are closed. The storm said, okay, sit your ass down.
I'll say it for you. Sit your ass down. I'll say it for you.
Because nothing's going to happen right now. No, I'm home. Yeah. No planes are flying. Everything got shut down. I'm like, no buses, no trains. Bang. Mm-hmm. No money. You know, that big finance market. That's not happening. So I think it's all part of the process. And
let me ask you this.
Yeah.
From that experience that you had, what is an awareness or something that you caught that came to you yesterday? I know you talked about being present, but was there something that you caught about yourself, an idea, a vision that made you look at how you're living your life differently?
Yeah.
Yeah, like that. Yeah.
Yeah, and like I said, this was in the – well – I got this revelation after I realized that I didn't have a flashlight. I didn't have extra water. I only had like 1 gallon of water. I had 1 candle. So I'm hearing this, the wind sounds like the ocean. I'm like, perhaps I should have taken all of this more seriously because suppose I lose some power. Suppose I don't have any water. What am I going to do, you know? Mm-hmm. But the thing that came for me was what am I going to choose to do? Am I going to choose to continue to focus on what is wrong, what may not have been, what I may not have overcome as of yet, or am I going to really hold fast to the vision and the choice of life as I want it to be?
Right, right.
That's, you know, and faith, because in that moment when I realized, ooh, wait a minute, I'm not really prepared. I'm not really prepared because if something happens tonight, you know, what am I going to do, you know?
Right.
How am I?
And I wanted to ask you about that particular, what you're talking about, this, like, you know, when you, what we call the real, you know, that realness is like, okay, you felt like you weren't prepared. Now you're confronting yourself. It's not a theory anymore. It's not just an idea that you may
it's
not have.
Real.
You know. Yes. What did you do in that moment? Were you nervous? How did you shift your mind?
I was. Well, yeah. In that moment, I said, okay, hold on, wait a minute. Okay, I said, this is going to sound funny. I knew I had a box of matches, and I, you know, because I actually was cooking. I was cooking and had this realization, like, holy shit. Like, wait a minute, suppose, because the lights kept flickering, you know. Mm-hmm. And I had matches, and I had the candle and the glass, those things I knew I had. So I made a decision that I was going to keep. I had on a sweatshirt with a big pocket. I said, the smart thing to do here is to keep these matches with me at all times and walk around with this candle. That if the electricity goes out, I'm doing it old school. I'll just, because the candle would be good for 7 days. It definitely would take me through the night. It's one of those 7 days. So in that moment, I guess you could say, first, there was a little panic, like, oh, you know, and guilt. Like, why didn't you just, you know, like, you know, the self-talk was, you had plenty of time to get a flashlight. You had plenty of time to run water. You didn't do it. You know, what's wrong with you? You know, I went down that road, and then there was an abrupt stop. Okay, what can I do now? And I realized, I have this candle. I have these matches. I have my pocket. I have my cell phone that's still charged. Keep those things with me at all times so that if the lights do go out, I have the matches in my pocket, I have the candle within reach, and I can function and maneuver. So, you know, I think that's a metaphor that, you know, like we always have the solution right there where we are. We're not ever really abandoned.
Right,
So thank God the lights didn't go out. But it's something to consider. New Yorkers, we tend to not take these things seriously. Like, it's a storm. We're just going to go around the corner and go get. And in that moment, I realized, the wind sounds like the ocean. I never heard that before. I don't know what happened.
Like the wind sound like the ocean. Oh, boy.
Yeah. Yes. Wow.
Well, I am grateful that you're here to tell us the story and that you got through it with your mind intact. And I texted Carly Jackson yesterday. She said the power was out, cell phone battery was running low, and she said we were walking around with candles and flashlights. And but she said, all in all, things are good. Everybody was cool. And then she sent me a text saying, I'm going to bed. So I guess some people got to bed early. Some people probably didn't sleep. But thank you. Thank you, Glenda.
Yes, you're welcome. Thank you, Ade. Thank you. Have a great day.
You too, darling. Yes. In the midst of chaos, remember to hold on to your spark of divinity. Remind yourself that you are the light. Have your candle with you. yes, and keep your cell phone around, because in yourselves you can let your body communicate with you, and you can listen to that inner guidance, the intuition. So no matter what is going on, you are the spark of divinity. You are the light, and there's intuition. So even if you prepared in advance on whatever it is, a storm or not, maybe a personal storm, that's what I'm taking away from what Glenda just shared with us. We're going to take a break. We're going to send more love, light, continue to send love and light to everyone on the path of Sandy in New Jersey, Connecticut, wherever, and people who are just having their own personal superstorm. They just don't understand. The people are just crying. They don't know why they're feeling sad. There's so much going on. We need each other. And Carly is always blessing us with her wonderful voice through the technology of computer. So we want to just hold her and her family, extended family, in light and remind her as she reminds us that we are one. We'll be right
Do
back.
Do you see your eyes when you look at me? Do you hear your voice when you hear me sing? Well, I know now that we are one. When I'm hurting you, I am hurting me. When I'm loving you, I am loving me. I know now that we are one. 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 'Cause there is no separation. 'Cause we are one. When I'm judging you, I am judging me. When I'm praising you, I am praising me. I know now that we are one. When I'm fearing you, I'm afraid of me. When I see God in you, I see God in me. I know now that we are one. 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 Well, there is no separation, 'cause we are one. Now, do you see your eyes when you look at me? Now, do you hear your voice when you hear me sing? I'm hoping that you know that we are one. 'Cause there is no separation, 'cause we are one.
Thank you, Carly, for that reminder. And I actually want to ask your listeners to do something for me, really. I really would appreciate you doing this for me. If you go to Carly Jackson's website, that's Facebook page, or wall, Carly, CARLLIE. Jackson, JAXEN. Those of you online, or even if you listen on the archive, go in there and just send her family some love. Put something on her wall so that when she does get online, she can see all the love. We are one. When we hear that song, it wakes something up in us. Let's give the love back. That's a special request for me, from me, to pass on to Carly Jackson. If you can do that for me, I'll be so, so grateful. Just a word of love, of prayer. And there's some things in the chat room here. I think Teresa had a question for Glenda. Maybe you guys can connect. Glenda, Teresa wanted to know if you have spoken to others. Are they panicking? Or are they feeling as if they need to look at their lives a bit differently as you do? I'm sure. I mean, you guys can chat on the Ask Life Coach Ade fan page, or you're probably chatting on instant message. But yeah, so much going on. Yes, Rebecca, we're holding you in the light. Happy birthday to you. It's your birthday. So not only are we holding you in consciousness, this particular day is your day, and God is holding you in his consciousness. So you're in God's hands. And the chat room, Tamara said, Jeff, Kosher, is it? I think it's he works at Agape, right? Is that correct, Tamara? Jeff Kushner. I think he works at Agape. His mother was found unconscious. She lives on Long Island in New York. So we really just, this show really is dedicated to everyone as we go through different, you know, talk about different things. But really, this show is dedicated to humanity. It's dedicated to people in New York, New Jersey, North Carolina, wherever you are, Japan, China, Nigeria, Afghanistan, Pakistan, India, Australia, to humanity, because we are one. The gift of disasters, it helps us connect with our heart to say, you know, yes, we are one. Sometimes we get caught up, as Glenda was saying. You know, we get so caught up, and that's fine. So we don't even need to judge ourselves for that, because as a programming has become habitual, sometimes we don't know how to slow ourselves down, and a storm would happen. To say, wait a minute, I've been trying to get your attention, slow your you-know-what down. We give it a name. So we're going to take a break. We're going to take a break. Let's see. Yeah, and then we come back with a celestial moment. For those of you who are into Halloween, and even if you're not, here's a spiritual historical lesson. Because you know, Celeste, how she weaves stuff together. You probably never heard the story of Halloween like she's going to bring it. I know I hadn't. And do you know what? Speaking of Halloween, do you know that I've never been to a costume party? I've never dressed up. Hey, I know, everybody calm down. So, okay. No, I haven't. Why? I don't know. I've never actually dressed up for Halloween. Now, I've dressed up in another way. Well, that don't sound too good. Now, let me clarify that. Not give you too much information. This is different. In England, there's a fast food restaurant. So when I tell Americans about this name, they laugh. Now I see why, actually. It's called Wimpy. W-I-M-P-Y. It's like a fast food chain. And I was going to take a break, but I can tell you the other story. Talk about just not the costumes. Yeah, that's right. Wimpy fast food. They were selling hamburgers and stuff. Kind of like a Wendy's, McDonald's. One day, I was on the cash register, and that was when I was working. I can't remember. I think I started at the back making food, and I wanted to be cash register. I was so excited, you know, because I like talking to people. You figure that, right? And I've been looking forward to it. I remember when they trained me, I was so great. I felt like I got the best promotion of my life to be working at the cash register, interacting with people from all over the world, you know, asking what they want, cracking jokes. And one day, they called me. And I'm like, what the heck did I do? It was a manager. And then they had this big old chunky costume, big, you know, kind of like the Ronald McDonald shoes. And I wonder if I could find a picture. But anyway, I'll see if I can find the picture. But anyway, so they called me to the back, and I'm looking at, what the heck is that? And the manager said, how would I like to get in that costume and go around and promote to draw business. Can I imagine Ronald McDonald walking around the street to get people to come to the nearest McDonald's? And something about me was like, I don't know about that. But there was another thing. I felt like, I want to do that. Cut a long story short, I put that costume on. Oh, my God. I had the most fun of my life. Let's see if I can. I don't know if I see the shop. When you do Wimpy Restaurant UK. But I wanted to see if they have that costume. It is so funny. Oh, yeah, I see a little bit of it, but I don't know. Mr. Wimpy. Let me do Mr. Wimpy. But I used to look forward to wearing it because they usually did it on a Saturday, and we'll walk down the street, and one of the supervisors are kind of giving out candy to people. And I mean, they're looking at little kids stepping on the big shoes and about to fall out. And then there was this time where somebody else was asked to get in the costume, and I was mad. I thought that was mine. But anyway, that was a fun funny moment just popped in my head. And then the other funny moment was I remember these little kids were trying to pull off my gloves. And like, who's in there? Can they see us? And the gloves, because we just used, other people were getting into it, and I was still dealing with my attachment. So there was a hole in the gloves. And one of the kids were trying to figure out, they said, oh, look, there's a hole in there. Maybe we can see who's in there. And the kid said, there's a black man. I tried to hold it together. It's a black man in there. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back.
Hello, this is motivational speaker Les Brown, and you're listening to Life Conversations. It's going to change your life.
Life Conversations. We dare you to live your best life.
Hi, I'm Mark Victor Hansen. I want you to be listening to Life Conversations. My friends are running it, and they do the best hosting on the planet. Enjoy the show.
Did you know when the body is balanced, it heals itself? This is the guiding principle of Dr. Mark Armstrong. Dr. Mark is the founder of Ahimki Center for Wholeness. Ahimki is a wellness center that offers services and training programs that help you grow yourself. Ahimki is a word which symbolizes our commitment to honor the sacredness of all life and our respect for the vital force that flows through all living creatures. We seek to teach and heal, and thereby express our love for mankind, the earth, and the infinite universe. Ahimki Center for Wholeness services include acupressure, foot detoxification, Reiki, iridology, massage, Ahimki mind management, which is a process that uses the natural rhythms of the body to balance the mind. It enables total well-being and getting the thinking out of the way so the brainstem can do its work, and much more. For more information, visit ahimki.net. That's ahimki.net. Ahimki Center for Wholeness, honoring the ancient practice of energy medicine.
If you think depression is all in a person's head, you're right. It's a brain illness. And like other illnesses, it has symptoms. A person suffering from depression might feel sad, empty, or numb. They might sleep more or less, eat a lot, or not at all, or show little interest in participating in ordinary activities. Mood swings, including anger and sadness, are common. They're often tired and have a hard time concentrating or making decisions. Depression can make those who suffer from it feel hopeless. It can even lead to suicide. If you see the symptoms of depression, get that person to a doctor. With medical help, depression can be treated and suicide can be prevented. Learn how to stop depression from taking another life. Call SAVE, Suicide Awareness Voices of Education, 1-888-511-SAVE, on the web at save.org.
Snickerdoodle shortbread, fudgy nut bars. How many treats? Snickerdoodle shortbread, fudgy nut bars. How many treats in the cookie jar? One.
Dad, you're supposed to jump over the row.
One more time. The smallest moments can have the biggest impact on a child's life. Take time to be a dad today. Learn more at 1-877-4DAD-411 or visit fatherhood.gov.
Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Life Conversations works with people to increase their organizational and individual potential by assisting them in identifying habits, attitudes, beliefs, and expectations that hinder their performance professionally and socially. Life Conversations is committed to assisting you move from where you are to where you want to be.
Hi, this is Jack Armstrong, author of Lessons from the Source. You're listening to Ask Life Coach Ade on LifeConversationsRadio.com. Many blessings to you.
Many blessings to you too, Jack Armstrong. Yeah, for those of you listening online, I just post a link. When you click that link, you see this. Just click on that. Yeah, that's what I used to wear. Gosh, I can't even believe I used to wear that. I had the most fun, though. It was so much fun. It was so much fun. I'll see if I can put it on the Ask Life Coach Ade fan page. I don't know. But anyway, it's almost time for Celestial Moment. And the birthday girl is in the house. Rebecca, we're sending you love and blessings, knowing that this is a whole new year, a new day, a new moment for you to recognize who you are fully, that the light of God that you are is shining so bright that there is nothing, not even within you, to dim your own light, because you have said yes to life. Thank you for appearing on this planet. Thank you for showing up. Okay, so we're getting ready for something different. Well, actually, we're going to do Celestial Moment now with Celeste Morgan. And then she's going to break Halloween down. What it means, where did it start from? Because I have questions. What's a trick-or-treat about? What does that mean, and why do we do it? Because sometimes we do things, and we don't even ask. We don't know where it started from. Sometimes we start judging other people, blaming other people for what they believe in, and not knowing that you're franchising their tradition. Yes, you're listening to the Ask Life Coach at a Radio Show. And it's about that time for Celestial Moment with Celeste Morgan. Number is 347-426-3346. Press 1 on your keypad, and we'll be happy to come to you. Celeste, my dear friend, how are you doing?
You're making Halloween start early for me. I was like, what? I'm weaving the energy of the day with Halloween? Wow.
You're gonna do your thing. I'm gonna stay out your lane. I'm gonna just stay out your lane. I'm gonna let you. But do well. First of all, you're gonna do Celestial Moment, and then we're gonna talk about Halloween. Okay.
Yeah, that's a bit much. But I see Rebecca is in the room, and I'm so happy for that. But here's the treat, though. And hello, everybody in the chat room, everybody on the line, sending love and kisses to Miss Glenda. Thank you for bringing it and sharing so authentically. You were not the only one wondering, oh, did I get all the right things? I was in D.C., but we were not impacted anywhere near. Well, we had our stuff, but I think New York, New York, period. Y'all got it, and I just send out prayers to everybody. So
For Saggy, is it for Saggy? For Saggy, Cheryl, she's in too. Listen, D.C. right or Maryland?
She's in Baltimore, but I don't
Baltimore,
know how.
Okay.
But you know, there's water in Baltimore, so depending on where she is, I'm
holding everyone in the light.
That's all we can do. But I will say this, though. Here's a clue that Celestial Moment is a little spooky, though. And
it is?
Oh, sure it is.
Do I need spooky movies? Spooky movies. Spooky music.
I, on purpose, found the scariest card for me in my tarot deck to talk about. But I'm not going to tell you what the energy of the day is. So you got a little bit of your Halloween and your Celestial Moment. So I'll give that to you, okay?
We're paying attention.
Yes. So good afternoon, family. I am Celeste Morgan, and it is my pleasure to bring you Celestial Moments. I come bearing a number gift, and I trust that you will be able to use these tools to embrace whatever is showing up in your life right now. The energy of the day is 9, and if you happen to be celebrating a birthday today, like Rebecca, this is your lesson card for the whole year. The number 9 represents universal love, brotherhood, unfolding, completion, intuition, and it is selflessness. The 9th letter of the alphabet is I, and words like initiative, initiation, and illumination connect us to the magical power of 9. 9 is the butterfly in medicine cards, and it offers the gift of transformation as it embraces the changes of life by moving from a caterpillar to a butterfly. This medicine is also akin to air medicine. For when we use butterfly medicine, we tap into the power of the mind. 9 also shows up as the hermit or the crone in tarot. We find an elderly man or elderly woman on a path. They search within after a long journey of discovery. They have spent time alone and now come out to share their knowledge. They hold a lantern lighting the way, opening our eyes from the ignorance of our ways. We see clearly when we learn how to actively use our intuition. Now, today for a special treat, we are going to see what happens when the 9 joins the suit of swords. Swords element is air. Its attributes are the mind, the intellect, the power of thought to shape your world. We are putting the spotlight on the 9 of swords from the perspective of Mother Peace Tarot. We find a nightmarish scene on this card. A woman is being terrorized by the monsters in her mind. She can't sleep. She might even be feeling ill. One part of her personality covers her eyes as she sleeps on a bed of knives. monsters of her imagination come taunting and circling around her. These are manufactured by unresolved trauma from the past, current thoughts of worry and anxiety, stress and fear, the culmination of the shadow unchecked. How many times have we found ourselves in this spot, too afraid to move because the mind has its own horror story playing? There is hope on this card. Another part of her personality has decided to rise up. Excuse me. And make another choice. We have that choice too. We get to decide which thoughts we are going to feed. We can embrace the love that we know is real, or keep playing with the boogeyman hiding underneath the bed. These are our inner demons, and believe it or not, they have something to say to us. Learn the story with conscious intention, and you get to set yourself free. You might need help if the story is too terrifying. Reach out to a professional, a loving friend, a family member, or we just might have the strength to handle it on our own. Remembering our wholeness, we take the flaming sword and cut each monster one by one. We get to be ourselves again, and then we finally get to enjoy the rest of a peaceful mind by becoming our own hero when we take control of the story. All is well, and that's the story of nine through the nine of swords of Mother Peace Tarot. I'll see you around one for another celestial moment, and then we can break.
Okay.
Yeah, you know
what? Okay, we'll take a break. That was so much in there, boy. Woo, Lord, so much in that.
No, right?
Thank you.
I know, but I won't. You know, I had to break because it's rare that I get to actually come in and talk about something that is really scary for people. You know, some people have a lot of fun with Halloween, and other people are just like, "That's the devil business. I ain't got nothing to do with it. I'm going into the house and shut it down."
Before you go into the Halloween, though, I just want to share with Rebecca, if she's still here, is like, this is your 9 year. Mm-hmm. Be ready to let go of stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Be ready to just, trust me, I'm in my 9 years, coming to an end soon in March, but you got to surrender. What is that thing that you've always wanted to do? And the ending also represents a new beginning. But there's going to be a lot of letting go. So just, now, it may be different for you, but I'm telling you, nine is a death, is an ending. You're going to have to let some things go. A way of being, the way you used to think. Just spill in some fairy dust to assist you on your path of enlightenment. Because when Celeste was reading the number, and I was like, yes, yes, yes. And it's not really hard, it's more scary. Because when I heard, you know, this is going to be your 9 year, this was going to happen, I was like, oh, my God. But you know what I can say to you, Rebecca, and anybody else whose year is nine? What I've learned since March about myself, about life, I have let go of things that don't serve me, even thoughts that I used to have about myself. I've learned to surrender. I've learned to trust more. I've learned to trust God. I've learned to trust the process. You hear me say trust the process. What's the ongoing thing? Well, more and more, there are things that I confront now. I'm saying it's going to be all right. It's going to be all right. And not just words, but I actually feel in my body that this thing that I'm looking at that could be kind of scary or wondering how it's going to turn out, I have an inner surety, if you will, an inner knowing that it's going to be okay, whichever way it turns out. And that's a gift. That's a gift that I'm so grateful for, to be able to stand and trust the presence and power of God. So even though it represents death, the ending, it's a gift. It's all a gift. So I just want to leave that with you as a birthday gift, my sister friend. So, Celeste, one of you.
I know, that was scarier for me. I got scared reading it. But, you know, that thing, though, that what you're talking about today, that nine, is so beautiful, too, at the same time. It's really about how you're looking at it. There's so many gifts. I mean, you go from the hermit and the crone to a butterfly.
Mm-hmm.
It's a powerful gift. But we don't know what's happening to that butterfly in the cocoon, though, do we?
before
it becomes a butterfly. We don't know what
that's
that journey
show.
Is like.
Yes.
Did I just say ain't? Yes. But anyway, I'm not going to be me. But yes, it's the whole show. I mean, what's going on in that cocoon, if we only knew?
Mm-hmm.
But I think, Adé, I think you're talking a little bit about that cocoon experience, though.
Yeah, it's true. Trust me. And anyway, let's move on. That's a whole different show. I mean, and listeners have kind of experienced my journey, really. You know, you guys have experienced my journey, some of the things that I've gone through. I've had to walk sometimes alone. And when I say walk alone, it doesn't mean that there's nobody I can call, but it just felt lonely. It felt like I didn't have people that I can just reach out and share with. Sometimes you just feel lonely, and even if you have people around you, it's just a feeling of loneliness. It's trying to, you know, things are happening that you thought was going to happen, then it doesn't happen, and then, you know, there are things that I tried to accomplish, and I thought, yes, I did it, I'm so grateful, and then made the call, and they said, well, no, we're going to need this. We go, ah. So, but it's just, you know, it's life. That's what real living is about. All the experiences, not because we're bad or this or we're not, don't have a prosperity consciousness or we're not doing our work. Well, if you're not doing your work, you're going to reap the benefit, and you're going to also reap the benefit if you do your work. But the key is to see God everywhere, as the song Everywhere I Am reminds us. And when we see God in it all, even in Halloween, if you're going to break it down, that we can rest. We can see God in the superstorm. We can see God in the war. We can see God in the poverty. We can see God in the famine. We can see God in the most horrible place. And when I say see God, it's not like just saying, okay, that's great, but you become the light. You see somebody suffering and you can see their light. You see somebody who's doing something evil and you can say, wow, I don't know what it is, but I saw their light. That's seeing God in the midst of chaos. Don't make me start another show, Celeste. Go ahead and do your thing.
Before I do my thing, though, I have to acknowledge the babies, Teresa and Rebecca. You guys are so beautiful. And, Teresa, sometimes we are going to have to crawl. Sometimes crawling is where it's at. So I just wanted to acknowledge that. And you're welcome, Rebecca. It's always our pleasure.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so let's get to Halloween. Can we do Halloween now?
Yes. Now I want to hear it. What we start from? What's the origin? Why do we even celebrate it?
Wow. Okay, well, I'm going to get right to it. Before it was called Halloween, it was called Samhain. It dates back to
Samhain?
Samhain, yes.
How'd you spell that?
Well, see, now that's a trick question, Adé.
Because it has the same kind of alphabet,
please,
right?
Please stay with me. Please play. Please stay and play, okay?
Okay. I'm not going to interview you.
No,
I'm just going to
tell you. I'm going to spell it for you, okay? Uh-huh. It's pronounced Samhain or Samhain, but it's spelled Samhain. So if you're an American and you're looking at this word, what are you going to say?
I'll say Samhain.
That's wrong. Don't do that.
Okay.
It's Samhain. It dates back to the ancient Celts, who I adore. I love these people who lived 2,000 years ago. And it means summer's end. So while we're all partying and putting on masks and trick-or-treating, this holiday for the Celts was serious business. The Celts believed that the summer came to an end on October 31st and the new year began on November 1st with the start of winter. Now, given the harshness of the winter, it was important to acknowledge the deities. So crops were burned and, forgive me, vegetarians, animals were sacrificed to appease the deities. Families would engage in fall cleaning, I mean serious cleaning of their homes to clear out the old and make way for the new, and then fresh and clean household items were brought in to carry them through the winter. Now, we wear masks and costumes to showcase our personality, but the Celts wore costumes because they believed that the veil between this world and the other world was finished, and those on the other side would come back to see loved ones or get a little payback if they were done wrong. So these costumes were worn and stories were told and danced around the bonfire, and they were cycles of life and death. And the connection with the dead was just so intimate that there were those who were honored. And then there were those who were, you know, they wore their masks so that they could keep them from playing tricks on them. There's where your trick-or-treating starts. Okay, so the people would wear the costumes to fake out the dead that were coming to possibly hide their livestock or destroy crops. And so all of this was done in order to keep the balance. Like, we didn't want to lose our crops. You don't want to hide your livestock. And if you did something wrong to somebody who passed on the other side, you were going to wear your costume so that you can just avoid them. Oh, you keep on running. And then the food was left outside of the door at the end of the celebration. And so that you can also continue to keep the spirits at bay. Now, there are many, many ways that trick-or-treating actually could have come out, but Samhain, the Celts, are given the honor of, they were the first ones who started this tradition. Now, when they were invaded by the Romans, and here's an interesting part, too. We don't know these things because the Celts necessarily left records. We know these things because the Romans who invaded actually wrote all of these things down. Amazing story. So your conquerors were actually the ones who kept your story alive. Question is, how much is true, how much is not, but there's still so you know, you have to add that in it as well. But the Romans invaded, and they added their own little pieces to it. They have a Roman goddess by the name of Pomona, and she's the goddess of grain, and that's where bobbing of apples comes from. Now, we don't bob for apples now. I mean, there are people who possibly do it, but I just think that we all have a little bit of hygienic issues going on now. I definitely did in the 70s. I don't see people bobbing for apples now. It's just real intimate, and people aren't really trying to, I don't know, if everybody remembers what that is, but you put your head in a, you know, you're blindfolded, your hands were tied behind your back, and kids would take turns trying to bob for an apple in this big, you know, pot or something and catch it with
your mouth. I'm glad you explained that, because I'm like, okay, well, she's going to have to break that down, and you certainly did. Oh, that's interesting. Yeah, nowadays we're too sophisticated to do that.
I did it once. I was only allowed to do it once. Only once. There weren't that many Halloween parties in my neighborhood.
And why did they stop doing that?
If you're walking around with sanitizer everywhere you go, do you think people are really going to be chasing after each other doing bobbing of apples now?
But people go to church and drink out of the same glass, because I'm like, I ain't drinking out of that. I don't care about business in your church. Everybody's drinking some same stuff. I don't care if you wipe that side with it. I'm not putting that in my mouth. I don't know where that mouth has been. But anyway, I digress.
It's different. But you have to admit, though, it's still different. We're talking about saliva and water and kids. I don't know what to tell you. But
yeah,
I
go ahead. Don't mind me.
Have somebody in the chat room or one of the callers let us know if they're having Halloween parties for their children and if they're bobbing for apples. I would love to know, because I haven't seen anybody do it in a long time. Okay, so moving on, because it does. Then when the Christians came in, now this is amazing. So after the Romans added their piece. And we're going to fast forward to Christianity. This is by 800 AD. The early church in England tried to Christianize the old Celtic festivals. So the Pope designated the 1st of November as All Saints Day, honoring saints and martyrs. Okay, so it's still a little connection with the dead. He also decreed October 31st as All Hallows Eve. That eventually became Halloween. And as this Christian holiday spread, the name evolved as well. So it's also called All Hallows Eve or All Hallows Mass. And so 200 years later, the church then also did another change, and it made November 2nd All Souls Day, which actually is a day to honor the dead, and it is celebrated in very similar ways as Samhain, with big bonfires, parades, dressing up in costumes of saints, angels, and devils. And together, the three celebrations, the Eve of All Saints, and All Souls Day, are all called Hallowmas. It's actually connected to something called, the trick-or-treating is also connected to something called Beggar's Day. And it was around that time that the poor would go from door to door. And like I said, there are, I was able to pull up many beginnings of trick-or-treating. But one interesting note that I never knew before is in America, the Boy Scouts were not a fan of trick-or-treating at the very beginning. As a matter of fact, they did a whole big poster campaign that American boys don't beg. They got over it, though. So whether whether you participate or not in Halloween, October 31st is about more than just fright. It's about getting prepared, really, for the darkest of the nights, so that we might remember in spring the sun will come again. And the death of winter gives birth to transformation, and the wheel of life continues to turn like magic and in wonder. And there's far more if you have questions. But that's just the biggest summation of how we move from Samhain to Halloween to actually adding All Souls Day.
But, you know, you just read the last part that you read.
I know. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah, your black and white cat said, amen to that, she said. Now, read that last part again about the spring coming. Just read, and actually before you read it, I want listeners to really just listen to that differently and think of if you lived your life based on this principle. Just kind of before, and then I'll talk more. Just repeat that again about recognizing spring and the darkest of night.
Sure. So October 31st is about more than just fright. It is about getting prepared for the darkest of nights so that we might remember in spring the sun will come again. The death of winter gives birth to transformation, and the wheel of life continues to turn like magic and in wonder. And that's me. I wrote that.
That's awesome. That is awesome, Celeste, because in truth, if we start to remember the wheel of life and we prepare, you know, in the Western world, it's like we don't want to prepare for disaster, but we know going through the darkness, the dark night of the soul is part of our evolution. And we know there's going to be the long, dark nights. There's going to be time where we're alone. If we prepare for it, and then remember that the sun is going to shine. But sometimes we don't. I really believe, and I'm saying if it doesn't apply to you, then it doesn't apply to you. So don't take offense. But the Western spirituality kind of teaches, like, you know, the sun's always going to shine. That's not true. Well, actually, the sun's always shining, but there are going to be clouds. There's going to be nighttime. There's going to be daytime. And in our life, we all go through different seasons at different times. And we judge ourselves when we're going through our winter experience. We think everybody else in their spring season, their summer season, and why we're not doing it. And then, you know, when we now step into our spring and summer and things are kind of like looking rosy and flowery and we see other people in their winter, like we feel guilty for being in the spring and summer. I mean, that's a whole new way, a new way of looking at life. Thank you. Thank you, Celeste, for that. Thank you so much.
It's my pleasure. I forgot to do something.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, because that was kind of serious, but when I didn't get the trick-or-treat, I didn't. And I think that trick-or-treating is really starting to evolve. It's going to look different because, you know, it's happening in schools. You know, people are having, little festivals at schools. People are doing more trick-or-treating in malls now than necessarily going up to people's homes. And that's a whole other story. But in our neighborhood, we got to dress up, but we just, you know, hung outside, but we didn't go from door to door. But there was one thing that I learned, and I don't know if you have it in England, but it's our Halloween song that we used to sing. And it's really
Go ahead and sing.
Trick or treat, smell my feet, give me something good to eat.
After I smell somebody's feet, I'm going to slap them. I ain't giving them nothing to eat.
That's DC. DC Halloween, folks. In the 70s. Okay.
Yeah, DC. Okay. So, okay. So many places I can go with, but I won't. But no, I am not smelling nobody's feet. And Celeste, I love you, but I ain't smelling your feet. Absolutely not. Y'all can keep that in DC over there and do your thing. No, thank you.
But it will never be forgotten. Someday somebody's going to remember this story.
Yeah,
because
well.
Because they heard it here.
Yeah, well, we have to edit that part of the show out of the show.
Oh, man.
But then again, but you know, some people love the feet. I can, I'm not going to make no people's parade. Some people have a special fetish for feet. So anyway, whatever turns you on, don't let me.
Well, actually, I really think the trick is give me something to eat or you're going to smell my feet. Do you understand?
Oh, that's blackmail. Anyway, because clearly I'm defeating you. You're like, hey, just eat. thank you, Celeste. Appreciate
my pleasure.
Woo wee! Life is good. It's getting better. You are listening to the Ask Life Coach at a radio show. It's Tuesday. Tomorrow we have Ancestral Blueprints, and tomorrow we're talking about. We want to look at the gifts of gratitude. From an ancestral blueprint perspective, from the ancestral perspective, you know, the we'll talk more about it. I won't even break it down for you right now. But, you know, just kind of think of the legacy that was left for you, the legacy that you're leaving for those who are going to come after you, and the gifts that your ancestors left for you. Yeah. What do I want to do? I want to do this. We're still in that healing energy. I want to play something for you. Actually, no. I was going to play this song, but I won't play this. I'll play this song later on. I want to do this. Because we're talking about storms and superstorm and hurricane and the long nights and the healing and the dying and the letting go and the this and the that. And we get scared of that because in America, we're sometimes in a bubble. You know, we hear so many see things and information, hear information that makes us feel like we're untouchable. But no, if you're on this planet, you're very touchable. Let me see. I've been told to check something out. Let's see here. Yeah, whatever, Rebecca. Ooh, just because it's your birthday don't mean I'm going to suck your toes. Oh, no, honey. I'll feed you something. Rebecca in the chat room said, yeah, I know that song. She said, I know that song. See, Addie doesn't know anything about that. She said, my feet smells great. Better suck my toes. That's right. I said that out loud. You put it in the chat room, I'm going to read it out. Did I say I'm all like Celeste? I'm going to read it out. That's my Southern Nigerian British lingo. I'm going to read it out. I don't know where the heck I'm from. I'm just a universal child. Now, let's get some streams of energy. Why does all this happen? I am sucking nobody's toe. Okay, let me leave that alone before I go off on another tangent, because all it takes is just to think about it a little bit longer, and God knows what's going to come out my mouth, like Reverend Michael would do. Let's take a holy breath right here. When he goes on that tangent, it's like, it's breathing. So here's something for you to listen to, hear, and take in. You may have heard it before, but I want you to listen to it differently. When we go through these challenges, and why can't life be this and that, or why can't we just have one political party where we love one another, blah, blah, blah. There's a reason for it. Wait for it. Here he comes. You know, it's Abraham dropping it like it's hot.
Good morning. We are extremely pleased that you are here. It is good to come together for the purpose of co-creating. Do you agree? It is co-creating at its best, really. We see you have dragged your physical bodies here. Well, we like to distinguish that because you are so much more than these bodies. Do you know that? You know, you are source energy extended into this physical form. Do you know that you are a vibrational being, mostly? Do you know that you are vibration completely? And that everything that you see around you is but a vibrational interpretation? What you see with your eyes is vibrational interpretation. What you hear and smell and taste and touch. You are really, really good, leading edge genius creators that you are, at interpreting your time-space reality just like you knew you would. You are source energy, eternal beings, and you made a decision to project a part of that consciousness here into this physical body. Because you knew that in this environment, the variety and contrast of the platform into which you were being born would inspire you to personal expansion. You knew that you would see some of what you didn't want, and it would help you to hone your idea of what you do want. And you knew then that you are a creator, which means you get to choose, by virtue of what you give your attention to, that which you expand toward. You understood, prior to your birth into this physical body, the creative nature of vibration. And you knew, above all other things, the importance and the power of focus. And while you were still non-physically focused, you offered one powerful stream of attention. The attention that you give as non-physical energy is toward all things wanted and only things wanted. You are pure love. You are pure energy. You are worthy beyond verbal description. You have knowledge of all things. You have access and, in fact, are infinite intelligence. In other words, that source energy part of you is pure positive energy. But then you said, I will project a part of that into a leading edge environment where the variety will cause an expansion. So here's how it works. You came forth. You explore contrast, you give birth to new desires constantly. Because every time you know what you don't want, you know what you do want. Someone's rude to you, you want them to be nicer, you see the world not working out in some way, you want it to be better. You don't have enough of something you want more of it, you're sick, you want to be well, on and on and on it goes. The contrast helps you at all levels of your being to constantly hone out new intentions. All species, all consciousness, even one-celled organisms are doing this. The expansion, the evolution of all things is about that. So you give birth to these rockets of desire, so to speak. Rockets of desires are emanating from you all day, every day. And here's the part we really want you to hear, because it's the part most of you have temporarily forgotten. When you, in your physical form, come to a conclusion of something that would be better, the source energy part of you follows that rocket of desire and gives its undivided attention to that expanded idea. Now, what that means to you is there is, in that moment, a potential of you being completely aligned with the expanded version of you or not. And when you ride the rocket of desire, in other words, when you know you don't have enough money and you want more money, and you turn your undivided attention toward the idea of the money that is coming, there is no split in your energy because you are a vibrational match to the way the source within you sees this. But if you give birth to rockets of desires, I'd like more money, I would like to be more prosperous, I would like to have more expansive experience in that area or any area, and the source within you comes to that same conclusion and holds that vision unerringly, unendingly for you. But you continue to beat the drum of, I don't have enough money, 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 I don't have enough money. I don't know anybody who has enough money, I don't know anybody who has enough money, I don't know anybody who has enough money. I've never had enough money, I've never had enough money, I've never had enough money, I've never had enough money. I hate not having enough money, I hate not having enough money, I hate not having enough money. That rich bricker over there's got enough money. He's got enough money. Not fair, not fair, not fair, not fair, not fair, not fair. I'll never inherit, I'll never inherit, I'll never inherit, I'll never inherit. Then what happens is, without meaning to, and mostly because you're observing what is, you hold yourself in vibrational resistance to where the larger part of you is gone. And when you hold yourself in vibrational resistance to the where the larger part of you is gone, you set up a sort of vibrational separation. That's too strong of a word, but you, in simple terms, just aren't letting yourself be who you really are. And we want you to know that every negative emotion that you feel, every feeling of disappointment or resentment or embarrassment, every feeling of depression, every feeling of anger, every feeling of frustration or overwhelmment is because you're looking at something in a way that the larger part of you is not looking. Jesus said, turn the other cheek, and that's what he was talking about. Give your undivided attention to the expanded version of you. And you know, we want to let you know that you must keep up with you if you are to be the joyful being that you were born to be. You just can't be source energy and come into a physical body and have the life-giving experience that you knew you would have and expand into these wonderful new awarenesses and not go with the expansion. And when you don't feel good. And when you do, you feel passion and eagerness and joy. When you let yourself be, when you resonate with the true nature of who you are, you feel glorious, you feel enlivened, you feel vital and alive, you feel love, you feel joy, you feel appreciation. You love your life, you love those that you are looking at. You feel like Source feels. You see your world through the eyes of Source. But when you feel negative emotion, whether you call it frustration or whether you call it overwhelmment or whether you call it disappointment or whether you call it fear or whether you call it disempowerment, every emotion that you feel is about your alignment or your not alignment, your allowing or your resistance to who you have become. Now, we want you to know you can't keep this resistance up long, because when you croak, we love that disrespectful word because there is no death. But when you withdraw your attention from this physical experience and you croak, you're going to reemerge back into pure positive energy. You will then, in that moment, become all that life has caused you to be, all that you were before that has come into this physical experience and all that this life experience has caused you to evolve to. When you have what you call your death experience and we lovingly and disrespectfully call your croaking experience, you will come into vibrational alignment immediately with the fullness of who you are. We just want you to know you don't have to croak to get there. You can tune yourself to the vibration of who you are if you'll pay attention to the guidance that you were born with. And that's what those emotions are letting you know. Every time you feel negative emotion, no matter what label you give it, you are in that moment thinking about something in a way that the broader you is not thinking. For example, who you really are adores you. And when you are beating up on yourself, you're causing a separation. Who you really are loves others. And when you find some nitpicking reason to poke and prod at them, to find fault with them, to disrespect them, to not like them, to not love them, to hate them, when you find something within them that you do not love and you fixate upon it until you have a chronic vibration about it, you separate yourself from who you are. And then, almost without exception, you blame them. If they would be different, then I would feel better. If you would be more like this person I love, you not so much. If you would behave like that, then I would feel that way about you. And we say, oh, what conditional love that is. And what an impossible thing you're asking. You're saying, you hold the power to how I feel because I don't have any ability to choose what I look at. I can't turn the other cheek. I can't tune myself to who I am. I just have to look around at what is. And so I sloppily look around and I see that and I feel good and I see that and I feel bad 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 and I don't want to feel bad. So all of you need to change. You need to clean up your act, child of mine, mother of mine, husband of mine, wife of mine, friend of mine, government of mine. You need to clean up your act so that I can feel better, because at every level of my being, I know I'm supposed to feel good. And when I don't, something's gone terribly wrong. And we want you to understand, something is wrong temporarily, but it's not something to ask someone else to tend to. And when you try to get them to do it, you are powerless. That's why it feels the way it does. But when you catch on to the knowledge that you are source energy in a physical body, and that this life has caused you to expand, and that the larger part of you took the expansion just like you knew it would. And if you're not going, you're not up to speed with who you are. Now you understand how it all works, and now you can utilize your guidance.
There you have it. I can't remember, Rebecca, she's trying to ask me, but here's a title of what I just played. That's Abraham speaking through Esther Hicks, a group of non-physical beings, and dropping down simple truths. And I just want to give you the right title because I've scrolled down and scrolled back up. I was getting ready for the next thing I was going to play. But, yeah, of course, why wouldn't I want to tell people what that was? Yeah, I think you can find it on YouTube. Or just come back and listen to the show. That's right. I'm not going to tell you what it is. Come back and listen to the show. I won't be that mean. There's a part of me saying, yeah, make them come back and listen to the show. No, there's another part of me saying, yeah, I don't feel good. Yeah, I got to get in alignment with a broader part of me. let's see. So for every time you go listen to this on Facebook, YouTube, make sure you share the show with one person. I can't even find it now. All right, Abraham. Okay, I'll just keep talking, and then sometimes I'm good at talking and doing something. It's, it's disappeared. But anyway, that was Abraham. It's about keeping it simple. Recognizing when you're feeling sad, when you're feeling out of alignment, and it doesn't feel good, and you're feeling depressed, you're not in alignment with the truth of who you are. You are moving towards fear rather than towards love. Yes, that's called you are source energy, and you may find that on YouTube. You are source energy, because I've uploaded this thing a long time ago. It's time to release the show, and this show has been brought to you by Life Conversations Radio. Go to lifeconversationsradio.com and share the word. I am so grateful for all of you to stop by, those of you that are still listening from beginning to end, those of you who listen to the archive, those of you who listen to the show every day, every now and then, maybe this is your first time. I'm so grateful. We're in this together. We need each other. Let us join hands in consciousness and affirm one another and allow people to be who they are. All we've got to do is focus on being who we are, being the love, being the light, and you become the healer that raises the vibration for everybody else. You don't have to worry about them changing what they're doing. You can be the light. And if they're around you while you're being the light, then there's a vibrational match. if you're shining your light and they're not around you, because you're not a vibrational match. And so tonight, don't forget to go trick-or-treating. What is it? Trick-or-treat, kiss my feet, or give me something. Hell no. I ain't doing that. I don't care if you guys sang that song nationally. Yes. That kind of thing joins us together. There's a ritual. It's time to go. I love you. I bless you. Okay, John. Calm down. Calm down, John. I know you want to sing. And speaking of John, the Stringers are going to be joining us again. They've released a book, and they're going to be sharing a love story. John and Kathy talking about how they met and how we can, you know, use our spiritual principles to really create the relationship that we want. But anyway, what do I need to do? Ancestral Blueprints tomorrow. I think that's it. What else do I need to say? All these things are just popping up. Facebook messages. Okay, let me play. Say what you want to say and get over it. Okay, I love you. I bless you. I appreciate you. And I thank God for you. And be love is the essence of who you are. Be true to yourself. You deserve it. You know that? And just as important, be loved. Allow others to love you. Keep the flow going. Because when you're being loved, it feels good. When they're sucking your toe, it feels good. So receive the love. I'm out of here. Swallow your fears. Stateofmanmusic.com. Keep blessing. Get your toes up tonight. I'm out.
Say what you want to say, but you know there's something in the way. There's something in the way. Don't act like nothing. Hold.
back, that holds you back from living life.
Life Conversations. We dare you to live your best life.
Hi, I'm Mark Victor Hansen. I want you to be listening to Life Conversations. My friends are running it, and they do the best hosting in the planet. Enjoy the show.
Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.